another parenthesis, as a consequence of the inner experience just reported, I felt that there was a real prospect that I might go in the near future. And I felt that I should contact those in Phoenix who have been associated with my work, and also the family connections that I had acquired through my marriage with Sharifa. Furthermore, I especially wished to contact Robert Briggs, who would be the ultimate choice on my part to continue my work, and who is also the executor of my estate, and I wish to give him certain information which he should have. But most especially, I wish to contact Irma to determine something about this event, and also to receive such instruction as might be indicated. But being somewhat in doubt as to whether I would have a grip on my continuing life, I wished to call in for possible aid a certain individual whom I knew could give that assistance, a certain young woman. I did not have too much confidence that she would be willing to come or would be able to come. But it so happened that she did come, although it involved some difficulty for her. And for this I was and am very grateful. This young woman duly arrived on Friday the 23rd, and we then arranged to drive the car across, taking both Jim and Lynn along with myself. She was very matter-of-fact about the possibility of my going in, and suggested taking the Tibetan Book of the Dead, which she proposed to read to me if I had gone into the death process. This was very thoughtful and very considerate. However, it seemed to me a little bit too casual, because this was a preparation for my death. Nonetheless, we proceeded on the 24th and had a very comfortable, eventless trip over to Phoenix, the car behaving very well and no difficulty on the way. I did have the contacts with the group, with the family, with Robert, and most important of all, with Irma. At the meeting with Irma, I immediately went into the problem, partly of my experience, which seemed to be something like an experience with part of the death process, and of which she said she had been aware, and had even heard the cat, and seemed to confirm my interpretation. But most especially, I wished to take up the matter that had arisen in connection with the dialogue with Dr. Joy on the question, is the position of no two opinions by the brothers upon any particular subject a possible one? Dr. Joy thought it was impossible because of individual psychology leading to a conditioning of cognition, so that it was impossible for any two to agree upon any subject matter completely. This, I felt, was a very important matter, for it raised the question as to whether a truly objective knowledge is possible, such as that which we have in pure mathematics, where all who understand the subject matter acknowledge the validity of the proofs. I talked of this matter to Irma immediately upon the opportunity to do so, as she sat next to me at a dining table. She told me that one of the brothers, known as Starchin to us, was present and listening in, but he was not channeled through her, inasmuch as that calls for an expenditure of energy upon Irma's part, and she was not in sufficient health to endure it. But he listened in and apparently was deeply interested in the subject that I was discussing. Then, through her, he presented the request that I live longer. And, of course, any request of this one I would honor. There's only one other whose request I would honor more, and that is the Blessed One himself. And so, I have taken up life again with a certain assurance that those features which I cannot handle will be somehow handled. I feel a certain sense of security in the living process, which I did not feel before. I merely have to do my own part in it, and the rest, I feel, will be handled. We returned on last Friday from this trip, again without any untoward incident, and I am now taking up life again with a deeper assurance that everything is on beam. March 5th, 1979. End of the parenthesis.